Welcome to tonight's political forum on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and now at 95.5 FM.
Well, good evening from the University of Findlay. Welcome to tonight's Hancock County Commissioner Candidate Forum. Tonight's event presented by WFIN Radio and UFTV. I'm Chris Oakes, host of Good Mornings on WFIN, and I'll serve as co-moderator for tonight's event, along with Dr. Elizabeth Buchanan, Assistant Professor of History here at the University of Findlay. Our participants this evening are William Bateson, Miranda Lobdell, and Michael Recker. Dr. Buchanan and I have selected the questions for this evening's forum, and the candidates are not aware of what they will be asked this evening. Just to go through some of the quick ground rules, much like last week's forum featuring the sheriff's candidates, each candidate will have 2 minutes for any prepared opening remarks. We'll follow that with our question and answer session. Most questions will be posed to all candidates generally, and each candidate will have 90 seconds to answer. Follow-up questions and rebuttals or responses will be given 60 seconds for those follow-ups. We'll allow a candidate to finish the thought, but if we get to time, we'll get to finish the sentence, and then we'll move on. And we should point out that it is not required that the candidates use their full amount of time. The more concise the responses, the more issues that we can get to, so please keep that in mind. Before tonight's forum, we drew numbers to determine the order of opening remarks, and we will begin with Mr. Recker.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you to the University of Findlay and WFIN for tonight's invitation to this forum. I am Mike Recker. I am running for the open seat of County Commissioner. I am a lifelong resident of Hancock County. I am a business owner in this community. I'm married to my wife, Susie, of 27 years. I have two children and one grandchild. This is a position, that is very near and dear to my heart. My father was county commissioner back in the 90s, and I have kept tabs on the county for years. And disappointed over the last few years with the communication between the city, the townships, and the county, and the cooperation between the two. I'm hoping to reestablish that as a new county commissioner and bring my 25 years of business experience to the table. Thank you for the invitation tonight.
Next to deliver opening remarks will be Mr. Bateson.
Thank you to WFIN and the University of Findlay for hosting me and inviting me to participate in tonight's forum. I am here to share a few things about myself and why I believe that I would be an asset to the commissioner's office. I'm a lifelong resident of Hancock County. I've been married to my beautiful wife for 25 years, and we have four children in our community. Please know I'm involved in our community coaching various sports at all age levels, serving my church through church council and teaching Sunday school. I've spent 19 years in manufacturing, a lifetime in agribusiness, now operating 750 acres in the Arlington area. I have served on the Ohio Soybean Council for the last 7 years, and I've held the office of treasurer, vice chairman, and I am the chairman presently. I've worked with my wife and our investment in her practice, Dr. Angela Bateson Dental Practice on South Main Street. My wife and I have significant investment in Hancock County, from agribusiness to Main Street Findlay, which makes me uniquely qualified to understand many of the issues in our community. I've been asked many times during my campaign, why am I running for this office? I choose a three-word phrase, responsible community leadership. Responsibility means actually showing up for work, answering the hard questions, and then working extra hours, which means putting your personal life on hold when needed to serve the citizens that voted for me. Community is the county, city, towns, villages, and townships where we live and work together so that we can all prosper. Leadership is being willing to listen, make difficult decisions, and be accountable for the results. Leadership is working and putting the common good of others ahead of your own interests. Thank you.
And Ms. Lobdell.
Thank you for having me here this afternoon. My name is Miranda Lobdell, and I graduated summa cum laude from the University of Findlay. I went to Ohio Northern to obtain my law degree, and then I came back here to the University of Findlay to get to work on my MBA in accounting and marketing. I'm a lifelong Hancock County resident, and I run a small business, Over the Moon Creations, LLC, which sells graphics, embroidery, and social media management services all over the country. I'm a 17-year 4-H advisor, head of the 4-H horse department, a fair superintendent, a college professor, on the board of the Northwest Ohio Railroad Preservation, an active member of the Republican Party, as well as a loyal and loving daughter to my parents as I've helped them through their medical crises, managing the family farm, and acting as a combined apprentice, tech support, and number one gopher for my father's welding business. The question that's important tonight is why I should be Hancock County's next commissioner, and I'm going to sum it up in three words. Responsible financial stewardship. That means realizing that just like our personal wallets, that when there's not enough money in the pot for all of the projects, we need to prioritize and look for alternate funding, not just grab for more of your money. That means that working with the leadership in all of our county offices, townships, villages, and the city of Findlay to identify the most pressing needs in our community and evaluate the best long-term financial solutions for the county. It's making sure that we have enough evidence to back up our success for our projects and not jumping the gun and going all in on things like the benching project before we're sure that the next steps are going to have the exact same financial discernible results. And it's making sure that as we grow, we focus on the quality of population, not just quantity, and ensure that any additional industry yields financial benefits through jobs and revenue without negatively impacting the surrounding community's overall way of life. My purpose, my goal, and my deepest desire in seeking this seat is the opportunity to preserve the wonderful blend of city life and small town comforts that makes Hancock County a great and unique place to live for generations to come.
First, thank you very much for being present and for your opening statements. We're going to ask questions from each of you for each of you to respond, likely. And I thought I'd ask Ms. Lobdell, since you gave your opening statement last, to start first with the questions, and then we'll rotate basically clockwise. The first question is this. Much progress has been made in the past couple of years on mitigating the flood issue. How satisfied are you with where the process is right now and with current plans for the future? And what, if anything, would you like to see changed or done differently?
I think we've made some huge strides. We got 2 inches of rain in the early part of January that would have normally created substantial flooding, and the river did not meet those previous projections at all. So we're on the right track. But I think as we go forward, the plan is fairly well mapped out. But I think as we go forward, we need to take it step by step and make sure that as we go forward, that each additional benching project that we do yields the same sort of success. There's no sense in going too far. Flooding is a temporary issue. The benches are permanent. If we take away the land use for these family farms that we want to for the benching, then it becomes one of those things that you can't farm it once it's in the benching project. So I think we need to be very, very sure and very confident that it's going to continue to resolve our issues. As far as the future, flooding is a fluid issue, and we're never going to resolve it. It's going to be something that we have to keep our eyes on, that we can't turn our backs on, because it all depends on what our environment's doing, what's happening upstream from us, what's happening downstream from us. And I think if we just go blindly and think we've solved this problem, in 50 years we're going to be right back to where we were before we started this project. We have to keep good tabs on it and an eye on the river.
Thank you. Mr. Bateson?
Yes. The project, which was handed over to the Maumee Conservancy District, which they are in charge of the design, they are in charge of the maintenance now, it's their responsibility, even though it still goes through our county, for final approval. Steve Wilson, who is the engineer for the landfill, he is the director under the Water Conservancy District, and he manages that for us. So that being said, the benching project has been proven throughout the Midwest that is probably the most efficient and gives us the best chance for water quality, which we need to be very aware of the type of water that we are sending Lake Erie. Right now, statewide, Governor DeWine has proposed what's called H2O Ohio to improve the water quality for Lake Erie, and that's one thing that we need to be make sure that we are aware of in Hancock County. Whatever we do to our water system, how is that affecting Lake Erie and the algae blooms that are appearing on those? And once again, the benching project is by far the best and most economical way to continue with those things, that we need to continue to work with the Water Conservancy District as we move forward in those. So really, we just need to continue with the Water Conservancy District and work through them.
Thank you. Mr. Recker?
Yes, on the flooding issue, yes, we in 2007, that was the perfect storm. We had between 5 to 7 inches of rain on 3 tributaries coming into the Blanchard River. And it's one we may never see again. It may be one we see again. The Conservancy District, going back to the Corps of Engineers, I think it was the biggest fleece that Hancock County ever had. The Corps of Engineers took Hancock County for a bunch of studies that we could have done through Santec and had just the same results done. We have around $13 million still in the county fund for property acquisition of properties in Findlay in the flood areas. And I think we're doing well at acquiring those. We just recently had a bid come in on a building that the engineer estimated at $90,000 and it came in at $30,000. We have some, every time that happens, that's more properties that that we can buy in the floodplain. With the Conservancy District, I think there needs to be more openness and transparency as to where this property is being bought and where it, how much it's being bought for.
Thank you very much.
Over the past several election cycles, as everyone knows, the debate over flood control efforts has nearly consumed and overshadowed all other issues in forums such as this. As you all have mentioned, obviously it's not an issue that is going away, but that said, now that there is a more concrete plan in place, what other issues or what other issue or issues would you as commissioner prioritize that may have been overlooked, ignored, or delayed? We'll begin with Mr. Bateson.
As we have been attending meetings, of the commissioners' meetings and that, I really need to give credit to the present commissioners and the commission. When Phil Riegel was commissioner, I think things have improved quite a bit. They have a little bit longer plan. They have a 10-year plan that they're working on presently. I think a lot of the issues that are out there, of course, the probate juvenile court, record storage, and the study that will be coming back on the jail is being addressed by the commissioners presently, and those are in the works, so I'd like to give credit to those going on. Probably the biggest continuing problem that we have right now is we have 113 kids in kids care that's costing the county $100,000 a month that's coming out of the general fund. I think by all hopes that is a temporary situation that's happening. They hope that decreases over the years, but right now that is probably one of the biggest expenses that we need to really get a handle on. Once again, things at the landfill, they're in a new stage out there, so I think a lot of that is being addressed. Litter landings should always be watched. That is a county favorite. The people in Hancock County love recycling, and I don't see that ending. And I think we always just have to keep abreast of what's going on.
Mr. Recker?
I think we've gotten behind on our structures. Our juvenile court building should have been addressed 5-6 years ago. The jail expansion needs to be addressed and before it gets too much farther down the line. The landfill is in good condition. We just make sure we get into a 50 to 75-year plan on that. litter landing. It's an issue that's changing constantly since China has closed the market to recyclables. The market for recycling has gone away, and we need to address that so that does not become a financial burden on the county. It is now being subsidized by the county landfill, and we need to make sure that we can stabilize that. So in time, the market on that is probably going to dry up, so we got to figure out where we're going to go with that. So, and same thing with the foster kids, what Bill said. I have not realized how many foster kids we have in placements right now, and talking to the judge that they're getting more difficult.
And Ms. Lobdell. Excuse me.
I think one of the biggest things that's facing our county right now, in addition to the jail, the probate center, and the flooding, is we're a little bit behind in our infrastructure. I know through conversations with Engineer Cade, we are way behind on our bridges. We have a lot of bridges that should have been addressed many years ago, but because of our economy and the funding, and or rather lack thereof, he has a very large job ahead of him, and I think that is something that is going to require our support and our funds. Likewise, we have some road projects. The 313 project getting moved up 2 years is a great thing at a very minimal cost to the county. But there's a lot of other roads, I'm sure you can tell if you've driven through Findlay, Hancock County lately, that need our attention as well. If we don't have our transportation, we're less desirable as an investment. I also think that our drug addiction is not going away. It's mutating. It's changing varieties, but it's still a problem. And I think we need to give more focus on prevention and giving kids outlets and supporting those outlets for kids as they're coming up in schools and outside of schools, not just academics, not just sports, things like the 4-H program, art programs, music programs, where the kids can find something that makes them feel fulfilled and give them marketable skills that maybe they'll take into the trades and become productive members of our society. Then they won't have time to get into trouble and fill rooms in the jail.
Thank you. For the next question, we'd like to start with Mr. Riker. And the question is, as commissioner, how would you balance public involvement, which is very important, as we all know, to this community, against efficiency and speed of decision-making?
Ultimately, as an elected official, as one of the three board members of the commissioners, the decisions have to be made, and you're being elected to make that decision. At the same time, community involvement is very important in way of being out into the community. In my small business years, you know, sitting at the tables and talking to the people is very important, but ultimately we have to make the decision, and it has to be done at the to make sure the county is fiscally responsible. And you know, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, but you have to make the decision.
Thank you, Mr. Bateson.
I think the great example of the efficiencies of private sector business is how the offices are ran. County government is about helping people through their problems. 70% of our budget goes to the justice system. So we have to deal with situations that hurt society in that manner. So on the business side, when it comes to running the offices and those type of things in our buildings, we want to be efficient like a private business. And some of that is looking at our time in public office of how are we spending our time. I've brought up several times every meeting I've been at with trustees and villages, I ask, how are you being served? Are the commissioners able to get back with you? Can you make a phone call to them and get back? One solution that I've asked is, would you be interested in a county administrator? I've called six counties around us And three have administrators and three don't have administrators. And what I found out is a lot of time it depends on the personality of the person that's hired as the administrator and the commissioners. How active do the commissioners want to be? And that's a deeper conversation that we need to look at.
Thank you. Ms. Lobdell?
I think that the basic structure of our government, we have a great team in place. The engineer's office has its team. The prosecutor's office has their team. The judges have their team. And I think that there's a great dialogue in the community already. But I do think that we can do a couple things to make it better. The way people communicate is changing. We don't just write letters. We don't even email. I do think that we could have a better social media presence. I've followed, obviously, part of my personal business is social media management. I think that if we want to hear the voices in our community, it would behoove us to engage more on social media and have a more open dialogue in that regard. You can, at the very least, hear the voices of the people and find out where those problems are. That's not a substitute for being involved in the community and going to the community events. That's a necessity and something that I'm very willing to undertake. That said, there are times of emergency, the floods in 07 that you mentioned. That's not a time to powwow and everybody sit there and weigh all the pros and cons. There are certain times that you have to act. And I think that in those regards, it's not a group consensus. It's a time to make a decision and act swiftly. Thank you.
Building on that previous question about gathering public input and involvement in issues, let me ask specifically about imposing sales tax increases on county citizens to fund various county projects, operations, the jail expansion, whatever it might happen to be. Do you believe that tax issues specifically should always be left to the voters, or are there times when imposing a tax is appropriate? And
money, that it should be left up to the people. In 99.9% of the circumstances, yes, I went to law school. I know never to give hard and fast ultimatums because there's always extenuating circumstances, but they have to be very, very extreme. I, with all due respect to our current commissioners, I do disagree with what was done after the quarter percent levy or the quarter percent sales tax was voted down a couple elections ago, and within weeks it was reinstated against the overwhelming voice of the people. I think that that's the point where you look for alternate source of funding. I think I talked about that briefly in my opening. Or you tighten your belts just like you would if you get a pay cut at work, and you figure out what priorities we have and figure out how to work within your budget. Doesn't always work. Sometimes you have to find that extra money. Sometimes you do have to resort to that. But I think it has to be an extreme case, and there has to be a real good reason, a very good reason.
Mr. Bateson?
Yes. Matter of fact, the last time that the commissioners voted to just continue the quarter percent that was left on, that is part of the responsibilities of the rural commissioners. That is under Ohio statute. That is their responsibility to make that decision. Do you continue with the tax rate you're at, or do you take the money to run a campaign to advertise on that when you know that the county needs that money to build the probate and juvenile court, to update the facilities and those type of things? You can look at it either way, but it is the commissioner's responsibility to look out for the best interest of the county. And replacing a 150-year-old building with a new facility that's going to last another, hopefully, 50 to 80 years is a very responsible position to take. Sometimes those hard decisions are hard, and you have to make those. You have to stick your neck out, and you have to be a leader. That's part of being a leader, is doing what's lawful under your charge in that position.
And Mr. Recker.
Unfortunately, taxes are a way of life, and as a commissioner, you have to make those decisions. You have to basically the county is your most important thing at that point in time. You have to make decisions based on that. And then if it's not fiscally stable, you have to make that decision to impose a tax. The quarter percent that was continued on by the past commissioners, that was one that, you know, it needed done. Point blank. It needed done. We needed the funding, and we still have a very low sales tax in this area, in the state of Ohio. And ultimately, your responsibility is to keep the county in fiscal good shape. And if you have to impose it, you take your arrows.
And with that, we have come to about the midway point of our forum this evening. We're going to take a brief break, and we'll be back with more of tonight's Hancock County Commissioner Forum from the University of Findlay.
Your news authority is 1330 WFIN, and now at 95.5 FM.
Childhood is full of wonder, and we get the chance to relive it with our grandchildren every day. But imagine missing special moments with a grandchild or seeing them through cloudy vision. The Foundation Fighting Blindness can help by providing valuable information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of vision loss in people 55 and older. But it doesn't have to be. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is driving research and saving sight by providing information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Don't miss a moment of your grandchildren's youthful wonder because of poor vision. Learn more about vision-saving preventions and treatments. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org where you can find so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today. That number again is 1-800-BLINDNESS or fightblindness.org.
This message from WFIN and 95.5 FM.
This is your news authority.
That's all that I want. I want one person, just one person, to hear my story and say, well, I could do that too.
We want to jump right in and say, how can I help? You know, what's going on? And sometimes it's just about listening and hearing.
Athletes have a coachable mentality. And that's something that we're looking for within our department. We want people that want to be here, want to be successful.
Your news authority is 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and now at 95.5 FM.
It's today's first look at the top stories every weekday morning. Hi, this is Gordon Deal, inviting you to join me for This Morning, America's First News. We get down to business weekday mornings at 5 on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and now at 95.5 FM.
Your news authority is 1330 WFIN, and now at 95.5 FM.
Welcome back to the University of Findlay for tonight's Hancock County Commissioner Primary Forum. Again, our participants this evening, Mr. William Bateson, Ms. Miranda Lobdell, and Mr. Michael Recker. And I am Chris Oakes, host of Good Mornings on WFIN. My co-moderator tonight is Dr. Elizabeth Buchanan, Assistant Professor of History at the University of Findlay, and she will have the next question.
Thank you very much. I'd like to go back to the topic of communication because I think it's important. And my question is this, and I thought I'd start with Mr. Bateson, and then we'll go from there. But the question is, communication with multiple audiences and in multiple kinds of situations, good and bad, is a critical element of leadership. Can you tell us about your personal communication style and how that style would help you be an effective commissioner if elected?
Well, just like you said, it depends on the audience that you're talking to, on the approach that you need to take. If you're giving facts for an informational meeting, you need to be versed on your facts. You need to have them backed up with an example, and you need to just be clear and concise and right to the point. Now, if you're talking to a group of school age for informational, I think you have to be entertaining and engaging with them. I think it really depends. It's always about who are you talking to and what's the message you want to get across to them. I've had experience. I've talked at Kiwanis meetings and Rotary meetings all over Ohio for the Ohio Soybean Council, and you really need to need to be versed on your information and really know the audience that you're speaking with.
Thank you. Mr. Recker?
I think the first aspect of the communication is you got to sit back and you got to listen. You got to listen to what they're saying. In my business over the last 25 years, I have sat at a lot of, I'm in the chimney business, a lot of hearths and a lot of tables, and talk to people and just listen to what they say. Then at that aspect, you know, at that point, you give them your ideas. We're not going to have the same ideas and the same fixes on everything, but you have to listen, and you've got to take that and just take that in and use it as good information. Is just listening. That's the main part of communication.
Thank you, Ms. Lobdell.
I would agree with Mike in that I think the most important part of communication is listening, and then it's asking the right questions. My job as a county commissioner would be to listen to the problems that the people in the county are having, what they perceive as the most pressing issues, asking the relevant questions to make sure that we're addressing those issues, what get more clarification, not necessarily expounding upon my views on things like what we're doing here tonight. That's something I'm good at. That's something that I've learned through my law education, through teaching at the university level, that sometimes it's what the kids are not saying that is the issue. There's a lot of that, too. And then also keeping the way that you talk to people casual in most circumstances. They don't want to feel like they're being lectured to. We want to keep it in a way that they feel comfortable in entering into the dialogue and talking to you like they would someone that they know actually cares about what's bothering them. And I think there's a time and a place for the big words and the posturing, but when you're dealing with trying to figure out what's going on in the county and what the real issues are, that's not the time and the place for that type of communication.
Thank you.
I want to go back to an issue that all three of you have brought up in the first segment of the forum, and that is the financial condition of children's services in the county. Their financial situation is, by all accounts, dire. What would you proactively do in order to resolve those financial issues without sacrificing the essential services to protect and support those children in the county? And we'll begin with Mr. Recker.
I know there's a levy on this time around, and not many people know about it. I think it was in. It wasn't. It. I hope it passes, but I don't think it's been sold well as to what the importance and the dire strait of the foster programs are in the Hancock County. We need to. That's when it comes to taking care of things down the road. You got to take care of your youth, be it with 4-H. Be it with any type of program for the youth. You got to be proactive. You can't be post-active. And at this point, if this levy doesn't pass, I think it needs to be readdressed and gone after again, and it needs to get the support of the entire community because these kids deserve this.
Ms. Lobdell?
He's right. These kids deserve this. They didn't choose to be in foster care. They didn't choose the families that they were born into. I think the levy is a great first step. I hope that it passes. If it doesn't pass, I think we need to try again, get the word out. But then I think we also need to explore things, reach out to State Representative John Cross. He's always great at trying to help us come up with alternate sorts of funding. I'm sure that he would be more than on board. It's not just a Hancock County issue. It's a national issue. The drug crisis is creating these children in care for the most part. And I think it's a multifaceted problem that we have to deal with from multiple different angles, but I do think that there's funding out there, both privately, publicly, and through the government, that we need more than just the levy, but I do think the levy is a good starting point.
And Mr. Lovdo, or I'm sorry, Mr. Bateson, I'm sorry.
Apparently I did.
It's been a long day.
Yes, it has. Our portion of the funding is very small. JFS, Job and Family Services, is the agency in charge of this organization, and the county's part of this is very small. Like I said before, right now the general fund is funding Job and Family Services at $100,000 a month. The levy is number 9 on the ballot, and I believe they're asking, I believe it's 1.2 or 1.3 million for that. So our help there is actually was a really good move by the commissioners. They went a new way, and they hired the director of Job and Family Services in the county as a county employee, and that had been a contract labor situation where our county kind of bucked the trend. We made that a full-time employee, so that Randy Galbraith is his name, and he's doing a wonderful job there. And so that's kind of setting the tone as to be that consistent leader right there. I think that's one of the biggest things there. And, of course, I think the commissioners can help by making sure that 4-H and all those organizations are properly funded. That's probably where we can have the most impact out of the commissioner's office.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to move to a somewhat lighter issue. Although I think it's important with regard to sales tax, which is the good part of the base of support for the county. So my question is that I personally have noticed a reduction in commercial stores in Hancock County, particularly commercial stores, particularly with regard to department stores and other diversified commercial enterprises. And my question to you is, do you think this is an issue for the county? And if so, what plans would you propose to address it? And I'd like to start with Ms. Lobdell.
I do think that it is a problem, but once again, this is not a problem that is isolated to Findlay, Ohio, or Northwest Ohio, or anything like that. We do have a lot of farm stores, though. I will point that out. I think some of it's just the changing way that people buy things. Amazon, online outfitters, stuff like that. It's changing the game. I think we need to do some courting, figure out what we're doing with the mall, which is within the county but also within the city. So it would have to be a joint effort with the city. Why is everything leaving the mall? That's the question. And I think if we can figure that out, perhaps shift to something more like what they've done up at Levis Commons. They have a lot of different options up there. We are centrally located on the interstate, so we would be a good shopping destination. I don't think there's an easy answer to this. I think it's just indicative of the changing times. But it would be nice to be able to buy a pair of jeans without having to return them 3 times online.
Or a 3-piece suit.
That too.
Mr. Bateson?
That's where the coordination between the city of Findlay, the commissioners, and economic development really comes in. Economic development is in charge of bringing in those type of facilities. The commissioners have to work with them to do everything they can to make get the water, get the sewer for those type of facilities to them. And then we need to work with economic development to see what stores are available for us. And I know Tim Miley's really working hard. They're always asking and trying to make spots for employment or for shopping, those type of things. But I have to agree with Miranda. The closeness of Levis Commons, Columbus, and those type of stores and our highway system makes it very convenient for people to go there. And, of course, Amazon and the changing dynamics of buying products online, but that doesn't mean that we can't keep looking. We are in a city And we have, I believe, four or five colleges. We have two in Tiffin, one in Bowling Green, one here in Findlay, and one in Ada. Maybe we need to expand our horizons there and look at what is in our community, what can we provide to the people that are here.
Thank you. And Mr. Recker?
As an owner of a brick-and-mortar store, it's difficult. People don't realize what it costs to have a brick-and-mortar store anymore. And so to capitalize on the sales tax aspect of it, I think we need to look into housing to try to capture more of the people who work here but leave here every night. 45% of our workforce lives here. 55 comes out of town. We need to capitalize on that to enhance that aspect of our sales tax base. I don't know if we'll ever change the brick and mortar. It's not the way the stuff is going. If I knew how to switch that, I would probably not be running for commissioner, and I'd be sitting in, wealthy and writing a book. But as an owner of a brick-and-mortar store, yes, it's difficult. And I don't know where the answer is, but I think we need to capitalize on the people who come to this community to work. We got to keep them here so they spend more money for sales tax.
Thank you.
I'm going to consider this kind of a follow-up. We'll use the shorter timing on this, building on the question of economic development in general, both in terms of commercial development and economic development with respect to jobs. Is enough being done to encourage economic and commercial development outside just the city of Findlay in order to ensure that all Hancock County villages remain economically vibrant? And we'll begin with Mr. Bateson.
One thing I've asked the villages when I go to the village council meetings is, what do you want to be? The villages out in the county, outside of the city limits, they have to decide where they want to take their village. I've asked that question in Van Buren and Mount Blanchard, and both of them have said they want to be bedroom communities. So they're putting their resources towards that. The villages like Macomb and Arlington and Arcadia, where you have a major highway and you have a lot of traffic going through, they can look at it a little bit different. Macomb has already some economic development. They've hired their own economic development director over there. They're going that way now, and they're taking it upon themselves. We have to support them in whatever way we can out of the commissioner's office. And the other villages, really, we want them, once they figure out where they want to be, then we can help them.
Mr. Recker?
As a member of the Hancock County Home Builders Association, we have done very well in this community bringing economic development to it in way of manufacturing facilities, that type of thing. Our problem now is we have nowhere to put these people. Our housing issue is becoming very dire. I know at this point in time the Alliance is working on a housing survey to figure out where they can bring these people in and keep them here. And I think it has a lot to do working with the city, the villages, as well as the county to build infrastructure so these developers have places to put housing to keep people here.
And Ms. Lobdell.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Can you repeat? I've got distracted by where they both went. Now I need to know what the question
is. Is enough being done to encourage economic development outside of just the city of Findlay in order to ensure that all Hancock County villages remain economically vibrant?
Okay. I think we can always do more. I think that it is an ongoing problem. I think that we have a really unique blend of city amenities and small town comforts. You can let your kid go ride down the street or go to the local store and still feel like they're safe. And I think that's something that we desperately need to preserve because it's getting harder and harder to find. That said,
we need to let our small towns and villages make their own decisions. If they want to expand and become slightly larger, I know places like Van Loo are always right on the edge of being able to have a school, or if they have to combine with somebody else, I'm sure they would welcome having some new development in their area to create more housing, to create larger numbers, just for the longevity and financial value of their towns and villages. I think we need to do what we can to support them in however they want to move forward. I do think that low-income housing is not necessarily our best bet, because we want, we'll just let it end it there.
Thank you. Okay, I have a question that that I think is important. First, we're going to have to be a little bit brief, but I think it's important enough that it's worthwhile trying to get a brief answer, because then we have to leave time for closing statements. That's what this is about. My question is, how would you propose to address the use and sale of illegal drugs in Hancock County, which seems to be behind a lot of the problems the county is experiencing? And what combination of criminal and civil actions would you advocate? And I think the next person to start first should be Mr. Recker.
Can you repeat that one more
yes.
time?
Yes. Sorry.
I can't hardly hear you. Of course.
Sorry. The question is, what would you propose to do to address the problem of illegal use and sale of drugs, of the sale and use of illegal drugs in the county, and what combination of criminal and civil actions would you propose?
Well, ultimately, if I had a magic wand, I'd make them all go away. Unfortunately, we're sitting on I-75, and we are the north-south corridor of the drug trade from Detroit to probably Florida. And we have a great criminal justice system that puts them in their place when they get here. It's a burden on the county. I think 25% of our current inmates are not from the county. They're drug traffickers going through the area. And ultimately, you know, it's an issue. It's a social issue. It starts from when their baby's going up, and I can't wave that magic wand and fix that right now, but we'll have to address it through the criminal system. Unfortunately, we're on the highway. We're on the drug highway that we're going to be seeing it a lot, so we have to address it.
Thank you, Mr. Bateson.
Well, meeting with the judges over the campaign, there are alternatives out there. A lot of times we're mandated by the state. As the state changes, that's why we have to look at increasing. That's why our jail is full. That's why we're spending $500,000 a year to house inmates outside of the county, because of the situation at the state level, which pushed it down back to the counties. For the commissioner's office, the best thing we can do is support our sheriff and our judicial system. Is there a magic wand? No, there isn't. It's going to have to be addressed at many, many levels and many issues. I've talked with Judge Johnson at the juvenile court level, and I've talked with Judge Starn and Judge Routson at the adult level. And a lot of times their hands are tied with what's going on. There's not one easy answer for this, and that's what makes it so complex. That's why you have to look at it from different angles. And sometimes you need to try different outlets, and we're definitely doing those things. We have many preventive ways to do that, and it's very difficult out of the commissioner's office to be able to wave a magic wand for that one.
Thank you. Ms. Libdale?
I think it's really interesting because so many of these things that we're talking about are interconnected. The kids in housing, the housing issue, and then also the drug issue. And I do not wish to be in the position of any of our judges right now or our prosecutors, because they have some hard choices to make With the shortage of housing in the jail, they have to decide who do we turn back loose on their own recognizance, who do we keep in the jail, and that's why I think the jail expansion is so important. I also think that they keep pushing, making things, you know, not felonies that are felonies down at the state level. It was on our ballot the last time. That's not giving us a lot of help either. However, I think that increased space in the jail through the jail expansion, making sure that we're expanding to the right expanding to attract the right demographic of people. This study by Martin and Associates that is coming back later this month over the housing and how they came in to evaluate how we're sentencing and whether there are ways that we can be doing it better so that we're turning less people back out onto the streets. And then just educating our young people. It's a multi-year, multi-generational process that if anybody could solve, they would be very, very rich.
We're running very short on time, so we'll move right to closing statements, and we'll begin with Mr. Bateson.
Thank you. I've been involved with youth for my whole adult life, and I always wonder about the future. I am concerned about inflation and what will the cost of living be for our children and grandchildren. I want Hancock County to spend tax dollars responsibly. I believe in supporting economic development to increase the tax base by growth, not by increasing the tax rate. Being a conservative does not mean saying no to modernizing county government. The two commissioners will join with Commissioner Bechtel and will be responsible for finishing the new juvenile and probate court building, as well as continuing with Blanchard River improvements to limit floodwater damage. They will also receive a county jail study and will need to decide how to move forward. These are projects that will require decisive action to best serve Hancock County for many years. As a candidate, I have met with many township trustees, village mayors, and village council members. I ask them if they are being served by the commissioner's office. Unlike a mayor, the Board of County Commissioners is made up of three individuals that represent the public as a group. I believe that the community believes that all three of the commissioners should be actively involved, not only at the commissioner level, but at the community level as well. I see the Board of Commissioners as being the face of our county. We are the caretakers of the county budget and responsible for the county's assets. The commissioners are the official representative of Hancock County. I am asking your vote on March 17th to be the Republican candidate for the position of county commissioner. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bateson. Mr. Recker.
Again, thank you for the invitation tonight to this forum. The county commissioner's job is a thankless job. It's one of those jobs that it may look good on when you're running for it. But I would say there's a guy sitting back there about five rows back that can tell you it's a thankless job. But we have to have somebody that was willing to step up and do it. Ultimately, we have a great community here. We have a tremendous county. We have a tremendous city. We have to just get these two organizations and the townships working close together again. We need to go back to the 90s when stuff was, you didn't have to agree, but you got along. And all, you know, that's why I'm asking for your support on March 17th. I'm just an old, born and raised on a dairy farm and a chimney sweep at heart. And, but ultimately, this community has given me and my family and all of my extended family a great past and a great future. And I want to do what I can do to keep this going for my grandson and the next generations of Hancock County people. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Recker. Ms. Lobdell.
Hancock County is a unique place to work and raise families. There's both problems and projects in the future that are ongoing and important to maintaining the lifestyle that this community has become accustomed to. None of these challenges are insurmountable as long as we're able to establish open and honest communication and cooperation not just on the commissioners panel, but within our county offices, our townships, our villages, and the city of Findlay, not to mention our residents as a whole. We can do that by embracing the continually changing way the world communicates through all varying forms of social media, something that my background gives me some substantial experience in. Our panel of commissioners needs to be diverse, not divided. Through the diversity of educations, backgrounds, and ages, Hancock County will be better prepared to anticipate problems and to avoid them. The type of communication allows each commissioner to evaluate a problem from a slightly different angle and to take proactive measures to save us time and money. And, of course, a focus on responsible financial stewardship, tightening our belts when money is short, making financial decisions that have the best long-term results for our county, asking the hard financial questions to ensure that our projects are held accountable, and by making sure that those projects are continually driven by evidence of success, both numerically and through the feedback of you, the people. I don't have all the answers, and anybody who claims to is either lying or completely unprepared for this job. What I do have is extensive experience finding expert witnesses and testing those witnesses in their field. This job requires working with a team of experts, each of them doing their specific job and bringing the data to the table so we can make educated and evaluated decisions. It means thinking with both our heads and our hearts to make the decisions that are right for preserving what Hancock County is, a great place to live. I'd like to make sure that we can do that. My name is Miranda Lobdell, and I'm asking for your confidence, your word-of-mouth support, and your vote on March 17th.
And that concludes tonight's Hancock County Commissioner Candidate Forum. Thanks to the candidates for joining this evening. Thanks to UFTV for televising this event. 1330 WFIN and 95.5 FM for radio coverage. Remember, Election Day again, March 17th. Early voting is now underway. For Dr. Elizabeth Buchanan, I'm Chris Oakes, wishing you good night from the University of Findlay.
Thanks for joining us for tonight's political forum. The preceding has been a special presentation of your news authority, 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and now at 95.5 FM.
Ohio State men's basketball is in the spotlight each week with the Chris Holtman Show, WFIN, WFIN.com, and now at 95.5 FM. 1330 WFIN Findlay, and now at 95.5 FM.